Okay, today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to complete Maseches Maisos. So we are up to Parakei, Mishnayos, Zayin, and Ches. So says the Mishnah, what if Chorei HaNemalim, you have kernels of grain that are found in antholes, Shalanu B'tzad Ha'arema HaChayeves, and they spent the night, these kernels of grain are right next to a pile of grain that you know is Chayev in Maisos. Now, Arema is a pile of grain that hasn't been evened out or smoothed down, but it's considered to be a gemar melacha as far as maisos is concerned. So even if they're in a field that also has other grain that's not chayiv in maisos, meaning not only do you have that pile of grain, you have other amounts of grain that were not processed, that did not have a gemar melacha, but this anthole is right next to a pile of grain that is chayiv in maisos, harei elu chayavim. And these kernels of grain that you found in this anthole are chayiv in maisos, sheyadua, shemidavar gam, or garin kol laila, because obviously the ants were pulling the kernels from the closest pile, and therefore you can assume that these kernels came from that pile, and since that pile is chayiv in maisos, these kernels are also chayiv in maisos. This seems to get involved in the sugya in the second parak of Masechta Bava Basra called rov v'karov, that over here you have a situation where it seems that that rov of the field is not chayiv in maisos, but karov, the closest thing, is chayiv in maisos. So l'chora, this Mishnah would seem to indicate that rov v'karov holich achar ha karov, that you would follow, meaning both are indicators. Majority is an indicator throughout the Torah, and proximity is an indicator. Where do we find that proximity is an indicator? So we find that by a egla arufa. If you find a dead body between two cities, and you're not sure which city is responsible, it's the closest city that's responsible. So we do find the concept of karov being an indicator. So there's a whole sugi in the second paragraph of Maseches Bava Basra. What happens if you have a rov pointing in one direction and a karov pointing in the other direction? Like over here, you have rove perhaps pointing in the direction that it came from the rest of the field, and karov pointing in the direction that it came from this pile that was right next to it. So generally speaking, the halacha, the way it appears in the second paragraph of Maseches Bava Basra, is that rove v'karov holchen achar harov, that we always follow rov. Rov is a greater indicator than karov is. So isn't that a kasha for this Mishnah? That in this Mishnah it seems that we're following the karov. So that's what the Achronim, the Mefarshim, and the Mishnayos explain, that no, over here it's not. Rov and karov are indicators when you're not sure what happened. But over here it's a vadai. This is just the way ants operate. They would not schlep from a great distance if there's grain right there, so it's like 100%. You know where it came from, and if you know where it came from, then you don't need indicators of rov or karov. Now, Mishnah Ches. And the Mishnah talks about things that are patur from maisos because they're considered to be things that are hefker. Shum bal b'chi, if you have shum, a certain type of garlic, uvatzel shal richbo, a certain type of onion, ugrisin hakilkin, or you have a certain type of beans, v'ha'adoshim ha'mitzrios, so you have Egyptian adoshim, lentils, Rameir omer af hakarkas, Rameir says cabbage, some type of cabbage also, Rabbi Yossi omer af hakutnim, a certain type of lentil or bean, all these things are part of our maisos, because these are the types of things that people don't plant, and whatever is growing is probably just growing in the wild and is therefore hefker and is not going to be chayiv in maisos. Again, that is the assumption you're allowed to make, but if you happen to know that that's not the case and you happen to know that they were planted, then it's going to be chayiv in maisos. So then the Mishnah tells us something else about these types of species that we just identified, that things that grow on their own during Shemitah have to be hefker for anyone to take, right? Shviyas have to be heter, have to be hefker for anybody to take. You're not allowed to be shomer your field during Shemitah, and if you are shomer it, you know, people can't buy it. So the Mishnah talks about what about these items? You're allowed to buy these things from anyone during Shemitah, even from someone who doesn't observe the halachas of Shemitah carefully and he guards his fields during Shemitah. So even though you're not allowed to buy food that was guarded during Shemitah, these species aren't guarded. No one ever guarded them. Someone just managed to collect them from the side of a road somewhere or something, and therefore you're allowed to buy them. Now, also, the only thing that's chayiv in maisos are foods that are edible. So there are a number of things that are patur from ma'isos, not because they're hefker, but just because they're not edible. Zera luf ha'elyon, zera creation, zera bitzolim, certain types of seeds of leeks and of onions, zera lefas tzronos, and seeds of turnips and radishes, v'shar zera neginashe nechalim, or any other seeds that don't get eaten, paturim and ma'isos, they're all patur from ma'isos, because they're not edible. V'in l'kalchim b'chalad m'shvi'is, and you can buy them from anybody during Shemitah, even if it's someone who guards his field during Shemitah inappropriately, but you're allowed to buy them because these are things that are not edible, they're not considered to have Kedusha Shavias. So they're not Chayv and Trumas and Maisos, but if you designated them as Truma, then you have to treat them with Kedusha of Truma. So what if you designated them as Truma, Sha'afel Pi Sha'avi and Truma, and then you replant them and something else grows from the ground, so even though the seeds had Kedusha Truma, Hare Elu Yechalu, the vegetables that are produced from the replanting of this truma item can still be eaten. Meaning, normally, if you take truma and you replant it in the ground, whatever grows from it is also going to be considered truma. But over here, these things aren't edible to begin with, so whatever vegetables grow from them will not have the halachic status of truma. So to quickly review, Mishnah Zion, we learned that if you have kernels of grain in an anthole and it happens to be right next to a pile of grain that's chayiv in maestros, so the kernels are also chayiv in maestros, even if the whole field is full of grain that's not chayiv in maestros. And then in Mishnah Ches, we learned that there are a whole bunch of things that are considered to be hefker, and no one ever would grow them in their field, so you don't have to worry about a chayiv maestros on such things, and nor do you have to worry about buying such items during Shemitah. And then we learned about inedible items, that inedible items also you could buy from any, there are pots from maestros, and you could buy from anyone during Shemitah, but if you designated them to have kedushas truma, they have kedushas truma, but whatever growth comes from replanting them will not have kedushas truma. Okay, that brings us to the end of Maseches Maestros and Be'ezus Hashem. We will move on tomorrow. I think it's Maseches Maestros Sheni that comes next. Okay.